Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from the triune God. Amen. I am what is sometimes referred to as a late bloomer, which is just a polite way of calling me an early screw-up, I think. I didn't actually graduate college till I was 36, which means in the late 80s and early 90s, when others my age were changing majors and pledging sororities, I was nurturing a not insignificant drug and alcohol habit. And this is why, in my 30s and 40s, after I'd gotten sober, I was so driven to prove myself, because I believed that that was the solution to the problem of having been an early screw-up. And then in 2004, when I had two preschoolers at home and was also trying to finish my thesis at CU Boulder so I could graduate summa cum laude, which was very important for my solution, at the time it really mattered to me, I was relentless at this time in my life. I was single-minded. I was absolutely unstoppable, which is why one day at school when my stomach hurt and I felt unwell, I didn't choose to go home and go to bed. I chose to just push through until it finally became impossible to pretend that I was not very sick. And I waited too long because on the drive home, I felt increasingly very sick until eventually I passed out while still driving. Thank God it happened when I was about to pull into our driveway and not while I was on the highway. So rather than plowing down other motorists, I just plowed down the neighbor's mailboxes before my car stopped in their flower bed. And when I came to, gained consciousness, I opened the driver's door and then proceeded to pass out in a snowbank between the neighbor's yard and my Honda for like, I don't know, a little wintry nap or something. And the next time I came to, there were paramedics standing over me, and the very first thing out of my mouth was, "I'm not drunk." I had worked so hard to prove I wasn't the sloppy drunk I used to be, but in doing so, I just found myself passed out in the neighbor's yard just like I used to be. And at the hospital, hours later, when the ER doc came in with the results of my blood work, he said there wasn't anything wrong with me besides having the flu and refusing to rest. But Mrs. Boltzweber, Mrs. Boltzweber, he added, "When you're that sick, you should go home and lay down." And that little piece of advice cost my family $1,000 we did not have. The point being, my solution to the problem of having squandered years of my life to addiction was to just then become addicted to proving myself, and then that solution turned into its own problem, and well, that's usually how the cycle goes. In our gospel text for today, Jesus says that those who wish to follow him must deny themselves and take up their cross, and those who wish to save their life must lose it. Not to put too fine a point on it, but these are just the kinds of messages that would never make Jesus an influencer today. He'd never get more than his 12 followers these days with that kind of branding. I mean, I feel like I speak for all of us when I say what we want is the three secrets every celebrity knows about getting rid of cellulite, or six steps to becoming more powerful in the boardroom, or the top 10 ways to make up for being a young addict. But no, Jesus gives us, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, and lose your life if you want to save it. Maybe like you, I struggle with how this denying ourselves thing is good news. And not just because of how that verse about picking up your cross has been perverted into messages like deny your queerness, pick up your cross of heterosexuality and follow him, or deny your dignity and pick up your cross of continued domestic abuse and follow him. I mean, yeah, there is all that, but the reason deny yourself feels like bad news to me is because I do not want to deny myself. It's as simple as that. I like calling the shots. And for most of my life, I've relied pretty heavily on me-based solutions to all of my me-based problems. And even when my solutions don't work, at least they're mine. And here Jesus is wanting to take that from me, like he can't see the value in my entrepreneurial life management skills. But the truth is, as much as I want to be a totally autonomous, self-contained entity who doesn't need to lay down when she is sick, I also am exhausted and very much want to scream the words, I could use some help here, into my pillow so that, you know, I get it out of my system, but also no one hears me and, God forbid, thinks I need help. But I do. I could use some rest and some help, because I'm tired of trying to be enough of everything. So recently, I've been wondering if when Jesus says, deny yourself and follow me, that maybe it's not about ensuring his followers are doormats. Maybe he's inviting us to deny the part of us that wants to see itself as separate from God and others. Deny the part of ourself that believes that spirituality should be a suffering avoidance program. Deny the self that always creates a list of demands. Deny the self that is so turned in on itself it cannot see much of anything beyond itself. Deny the self that says really horrible things to you about you. Deny the self that pretends that you never need help. There are parts of me that really should be deplatformed. Because in the end, that is one aspect of the whole death and resurrection thing that Jesus promises us. The death of the false self. But the death of the false self doesn't feel good. In fact, Richard Rohr once wrote that holiness never feels like holiness. It just feels like you're dying. I think he might have been reading our text for today when he wrote that. But no matter how painful, when the unhealthy ideas and habits and identities we rely on are taken away from us, it just makes more space for that which is actually real and actually holy. And maybe this is what Lent is about. Not giving up chocolate, but giving up on the things that, let's be honest, weren't working anyhow. So if you're faced with your own limitations in your own life right now, if you are exhausted by our achievement culture, if your me-based solutions to your me-based problems keep failing you, Christian, know this, there is no shame in that. Not really. I mean, not with the kind of God we have. Because as St. Paul said, God's strength is perfected in your weakness. Denying yourself might be as simple as letting yourself off the hook for having to be God. So every time we find ourselves passed out in our own version of a snowbank next to the neighbor's flower bed, every time our me-based solutions to our me-based problems fail us, just know this. It is in the tombs of our self-manufactured darknesses that God always shines brightest. I mean, it's basically his job. So we offer no me-based solutions here. And you know what we have to offer instead is divine foolishness, really. The kind that says that if you want to save your life, you must lose it. And if you lose your life, you'll find it. Because as St. Paul kind of said, the cross is foolishness to those whose own solutions are still working for them. But to the weak and the cynical and the socially awkward and the exhausted, to the divorced and the unemployed and the alcoholics, in other words, to all who are in need of help and rest, Christ crucified, the foolishness of God is life in a way that our own solutions can never be, in a way that more status and more degrees and more financial security can never be, in a way that proving ourselves and people-pleasing and Pilates can never be. In closing, something came to me very late yesterday, so this is not a fully formed idea. but I'm going to offer it anyway. When Jesus says, deny ourselves, pick up our crosses, and follow him, I've always focused on what a bummer the self-denial and cross-carrying part was, and never thought much about the following him thing. But maybe it doesn't mean he's leaving us to a life of struggle and suffering and having to figure everything out for ourselves. Because if he says, follow me, It must mean he's guiding the way so maybe we can stop feeling like we need to. Like, it's almost like we're going to his house, but we're in separate cars, and he says, hey, no need to enter it in Google Maps, just follow me. Since he says we should follow him, does it not mean that he is right in the front? Like, he's always going before us. He's always in pole position, and we get to spiritually just draft off of him. That's the rest and the help that we need. It's found in the spiritual slipstream of following Jesus, the one who says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, especially if you have the flu. The one who never tires of being our help in times of trouble, the one in whom we can rest and just try less hard for once. Amen.